got to wet my whistle.
I'm Daryl and I'm an addict.
Hey, Daryl.
Doesn't matter how many times I do this, I still get nervous because I care about the message that I'm about to provide. I care about the message, the life-saving message of Narcotics Anonymous. So I'm going to say a little prayer and invite my higher power in. God, I'm now willing to put my life into your care. Align my will with yours. Help me to recognize and carry out your will. Open my heart so I may be a free and open channel for your love. Take away my fears and doubts so I may better demonstrate your presence in my life. May your will, not mine, be done. Whew. Ooh. Man, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. We are the Broken Arrows, man. We were headed somewhere and we got broke along the way. And we came here to Narcotics Anonymous to be put back together. You know, I'm grateful to be here, man. I'm grateful to be clean. I'm already having a lot of fun. We're gonna kick off the weekend and have a shit ton of fun. I am gonna cuss a little bit, you know, because I came to Narcotics Anonymous to find out who I truly am, and that's who I truly am.
Come on,
Selma, obrigado. Nick, thank you. We shared a little bit with each other earlier in the day. Man, you guys had like 100 people in a noon meeting on a Thursday here, man. That was fucking wild. That was cool. Man, when I've been on this journey lately. I just moved about 4 years ago to Indianapolis. And we'll get there. We'll get why I moved. But I got clean in... I grew up in California. I got clean in Arizona. That's where I met my brother Joel. He said that if I fuck up tonight, he'll clean it up tomorrow night. There's my plug. You know, growing up, man, in good old Southern California, Anaheim, California, two blocks down from Disneyland. It's not the happiest place on earth. And you know, early on, you know, my first ever girlfriend, this is just where I'm at right now. I've been working on it a lot. My first ever girlfriend, her name was Portia Jackson. You do the math. Okay. And I brought her home and you know what my dad said? The fuck are you doing? Get her the fuck out of my house. And I was confused, man. I was, you know, and you don't do that. And you go and get yourself a white girl, you know. And I was like, wow. And I was confused. I had posters of Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, all kinds of NBA players. And I was never told anything about those. But I bring a girl home, and now I'm told that I can't do that, and that's wrong. So I was confused. So I knew early on that my love at home had conditions on it. So that's why when I come into these rooms in Narcotics Anonymous, the unconditional love that we have in this fellowship is unbelievable, man. I need it. You need it. We all need it. We need it. So I knew that I had to become somebody that I wasn't at home. And I'm already growing up without a mother. We'll get there. That's the Indianapolis part. I'm growing up without a mother. I don't know my mom. Dad is on, he shows more love to a drawer than he did to me. And I was always wondering what the fuck is in that drawer. What's in that drawer, you know? And I wanted to find it because there was so much love in that drawer, you know? And I finally started getting into that drawer. And little did I know that I was gonna bring on a lot of years of pain, shame, and hurt my family. You know, this is a family disease. You know, and so I went on, I'm running and gunning. You know, and by the time my dad had done moved on, dropped me off at the grandparents, I'm getting raised by the grandparents. So now I don't know who I am. I know I have to be somebody that I'm not. Now I'm comparing. I'm comparing myself to others, right? I'm being raised by grandma and grandpa, and God bless their souls, man. They I put them through so much shit, you know, and so I start running around the neighborhood, and I become whoever I need to be in order for you to love me, you know. I become a chameleon. And sometimes I got to be careful, because sometimes I'll do it in recovery. In recovery. 11 years clean. Putting back on some of those masks. Becoming who I need to be in order to get what I want in that moment. You know, and I would change who I was. I would wear 501 jeans, 3X tall tee, and I'd talk like this, homie. And I was precious boy, you feel me? And I would be patting my head all day. I didn't even know what I was patting my head for. And they call me D-Ro. You feel me? I got really good at them accents, you know. And they call me D-Ro. And the ways and means to get more, because I used to always want to focus on the substance to get more love, more acceptance, more drugs, more sex, more. Whatever it was, that the ways and means always dries up, always. So I switch it up. I go to this other side of town. I get a new girlfriend. Her name's Claudia Moreno. I start talking like this, fool. Fucking put on my dickies, fool, creased up like a fucking cardboard box, eh? Socks all the way to my fucking knees, you know, because you gotta be, you know, show machismo. Can't show your fucking piernas, you know. And learn a little bit of Spanish. Dame un línea, you know. And they call me Darío, you know. And the ways and means always dries up. Always dries up. And so I switch it up, man. I switch it up one more time, and I go to this other side of town. Started going to some juvenile institutions because I started getting into trouble. Started learning how to shave my head and talk like this, brother. And had to get down with the brothers, you know? And had to act a certain way and puff my chest out. And they call me Daryl, brother. And the ways and means always dries up. Always dries up. So when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, whew, I felt that emotion there. When I came into Narcotics Anonymous and I came into my first meeting, I was trying to find out if I wanted to be D-Bro. I was trying to find out if I wanted to be Darío. I was trying to find out if I wanted to be Daryl, brother. And I didn't have to be anything but Daryl, and I'm an addict. And you guys said, hi, Daryl. And I was like, oh, shit. You know, the spiritual principle of anonymity was being practiced right before my very eyes, you know. That's the spiritual principle of anonymity. We're all equal in here. We're all nameless. We're all faceless. It's not about, oh, I didn't see him at the meeting, homie. You know, it's an anonymous program. Man, no, we are all equal here. You know, that is the spiritual principle of anonymity. And I'm so grateful that I held on to that first meeting, because I was a product of the probation system. You know, I wanted to look at certain substances. As long as I can just stop using certain substances, I'll be all right. You know, because I didn't want to believe alcohol was a drug. Alcohol was a beverage and weed was a plant. And I didn't want to believe in mood and mind-altering substances. I didn't want to believe that I had a disease, you know. And I'm sitting in there on my very last violation, and my probation officer says, and she was badass, man. She was old school. She was a undercover prostitute. You couldn't get nothing over her. And she was tired of working the streets. She became a probation officer. You couldn't lie to her. She was a badass. And I go in there, and she says, she goes, "Man, Daryl, I'm so tired of dealing with you. Just burn your number. Go to prison. You can use all you want. Plenty of homeboys in there with dope in their ass." And I said, and I was like, "You bitch. I'm going to get clean." And I got clean off of fucking resentment, man. Because she told me, you know, my whole life I've been told, "Man, why can't you just get clean? Just get clean. Please stop doing what you're doing." My grandparents, my poor grandparents. Why? You know, my grandpa, he was in the Navy. He was like, "Man, when I was in the Navy, I used to drink like a fish and smoke like a chimney. And when I got out of the Navy, I just stopped. Why can't you stop? Please." You know, and I'd say, "I'm going to, I'm promise." And then I'd go steal a dub from his freaking wallet, you know, and all that shame that it caused for so long, years and years and years. My whole life I'm being told, "Get clean, stop. Why can't you stop?" And you tell me to go right, I go left, you know, and I'll blame you the whole way. You told me. This is because of you, what you did to me, what my dad did to me, what my mom did to me. Portia, Claudia, all them. It's what they did to me. I never wanted to look at myself. You know, I'm not a victim today. I'm a fucking willing participant for all the shit that I go through today. I got no excuses anymore. And thank you, Narcotics Anonymous, because I raise my hand willingly all the time now. But they're telling me to get, she finally says, go use. You can use as much as you want. And I said, fuck you. And a thank you to all of you that do service, all of you that fill the racks, because it was off of those racks that I got clean. Because I came out of that probation office and I looked and I seen narcotics. That's all I seen. And I grabbed one of those meeting lists and I said, fuck, dude. Okay. And I really thought, man, these guys gotta smoke a little weed. Gotta drink a little beer or something, you know. And I was really hoping for that, you know. I wanted to learn how to use successfully. I really did. You guys fucked that up, man. And thank God. And so I go to this meeting in Cottonwood, Arizona, in the Verde Valley area of Narcotics Anonymous, you know. I got out of a juvenile institution, and when I was 18, and I had to move to Arizona. My grandparents had already retired to Arizona, and I'm so grateful for it, because Arizona really saved my life, man. So I go into this meeting, and there's this guy with long hair and his Hawaiian shirts. He looked, you know, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's a Native American." And he's got long hair. I've never seen, you know, I used to say something else back in the day. And I was like, "I've never seen a Native before," you know. And so he's banging his fist on it. And he says, "This is not a social club. This is not a dating service." And I was like, "Well, fuck, it ain't for me then." And I'd like to say that was my last meeting, you know, or my last first meeting, you know. But I still had to go put my toes in the fire one more again, you know, just to make sure it still sucks out there. And I came running back in with my tail between my legs, battered, broken, and bruised. And I remember that second part that he said after he said, "This is not a social club. This is not a dating service. This is a place where people come to save their lives." And I wanted to save my life, man. I was tired. I was tired of running and gunning. I was tired of the hustling. I was tired of having 17 full-time jobs trying to stay high, man. You know, I used to say, "Oh, this is the easy route." Fuck that, man. This is the easy route right here. All we got to do is go to meetings, have a sponsor, work steps, get a home group, be of service. Man, think of all the hustling, the lies, that, and then that lie that we had to cover up on top of that lie because we stole that money, and then we got to go hustle from that guy. Oh, I got to pay that dope man back. He won't let me cop no more. Oh, let's go get from this guy. Think of that full-time fucking job that we did, man. Horrible. Horrible. This is the easy way out, man. You know, and I just kept coming back. I really did. I kept coming back. And thank God for the old timers, man, because they kept telling me, stick with the winners and stick with the winners and stick with the winners. And man, I wanted someone to piss down my back and call it rain. I wanted to hang with the homeboys. I wanted to talk about the hoe ass shit, you know. I wanted to talk about who was fucking who and this motherfucker over there. And none of that shit mattered. The only thing that mattered is what I wanted to do about my problem and how you all could help. You know, and I'm grateful that I stuck around some old timers that told me this shit. That told me to shut the fuck up when they're reading the readings. You know, when I'm trying to do the boing. Yeah, very grateful for that. You know, I was more worried about chanting than listening to the readings. You know, and so, you know, I'm grateful for that, man. And I dove into the steps. You know, and this it's about any lengths, our journey, any lengths. You know, I was willing to go to any lengths to get high, steal from the people that loved me the dearest. And any lengths. That's a little drastic once we get in here, right? You know, go to any lengths for your recovery. How many times, man, did I just hand that dope man that money and I'd just be waiting and waiting and waiting, like, you know, like a good soldier, you know? And it never came. And then I'd go right back and do the same fucking thing tomorrow, you know? Any lengths. And, man, I start falling in love, man. I went to this meeting, and it took a little bit, but this girl came around and she goes, she leans up on the table, and her breasts is right on the table, and she says, baby, we're gonna get you some phone numbers, and I was like, yes. This must be the madam. And she brought that shit back, and it was all dudes' numbers. I was pissed. And obviously I got some other problems, right? It's not just the substance. And so I actually start calling these numbers, man. You know, I took a leap of faith. I took some courage. And I called these numbers, and these guys were telling me things like they had a year clean, they had this many years clean. And I was like, man, I can't fathom it, you know? And I just kept coming back, and I got a sponsor, and I start working steps, and I feel so out of place and out of my skin. I'm trying to use those masks, you know, and I'll get hugs from the women, of course, all day. But I was that guy. And when the guys walked up to me, I'd, oh, what's up, bro, you know, and do the, yeah. You know, I was afraid, man, and I didn't know how to let you in. I didn't know how to be vulnerable. I didn't know how to be intimate with another man, you know, and old school guy, you know, I'm so grateful. He died with 35 years clean, and good old David B. He said, you know, when old school, like, got clean in a time when people were saying, sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up, and if we want to hear about the disease of addiction, we'll call on you, you know. And he knew that my soft ass wasn't going to take that shit, you know. I needed a little easier, softer way. Thank God I didn't get that Narcotics Anonymous. If you guys would have talked to me like that, I would have been out the door, because I was looking for any reason to run. I was looking for any reason to fight or flight. And so I'm so grateful that you guys didn't give me that Narcotics Anonymous. It was loving. It was caring. It was an easier, softer way. And he knew that. And he said, you know, get a dictionary. Get a basic text. that, you know, look at this basic text. You know, it's not a book. A book you read, and that's it. Basic text is to be studied and read over and over and over and over again, and studied and written in and written about. And I'm so grateful for that, man. We dove into the steps, and I went to any lengths, because he would say, hey, meet me here, meet me there. All right, I'm going to open up this meeting. He said, you're going to join the outreach committee. And I was like, what the fuck is the outreach committee? We go to meetings outside of the area. And I was like, what? You know, who are we going to save? Put on my cape, you know? And I found out that Narcotics Anonymous is a worldwide fellowship, man. I didn't know that shit. I thought it was just in our little area of Verde Valley area of Narcotics Anonymous. I realized I joined the biggest gang in the world. And I didn't even have to get jumped in. And it's saving my life. And so he starts pulling me around everywhere, and we're working steps. And he says, man, what's it going to take for you to get intimate with me? And that's when I was like, man, what the fuck? I knew you guys were sick. And I had to realize that, no, like, you know, intimacy has nothing to do with sex. It's I show you who I truly am. You show me who you truly are, you know. And I started to show this man who I truly was, you know. And I'm so grateful that he kept me around the winners, you know, because I really did. I wanted to stay around people that were talking that fuck shit, man. And there was this speaker that changed my life, man, that came to the Verde Valley area from the Phoenix area. They call him Kissing Gary, Gary P. And he dropped some heat rocks in the room, and everybody, oh yeah. And my sponsor comes up and says, go hug your speaker. And I was like, oh, okay, all right. So I go up and I try to do the
halftime.
And the motherfucker gives me a kiss. And I thought, oh. And that's just what he does. Kissing Gary. It's his culture. He got it from Ohana family, Hawaii. Yeah. And I go outside, and I'm gonna fuck this dude up. Oh my God, man! And I'm walking around, puffing my eyes. No, I don't play like that. There's no sugar in my tank. And thank God for the winners that told me, dude, shut up. What step are you on? Where's your home group? You know, I suggest you get through those steps. And so I did. I did. Because I really wanted what you guys had, even as much as I hated it. And I was crawling out of my skin. I didn't know who I was, but I wanted to find out who I was. And I start getting through those steps, man. And the truth is, you know, when it comes to that fourth step, you know, that is there a secret that I thought that I'd go to the grave with that I'd never tell anybody about? And I get up in rooms like this and share about it. My first sexual experience was with a man. You know, the shh, don't tell nobody. This is our little secret, you know. And when I got a little bit older and I heard certain words and how certain kids acted, nobody was ever going to find that shit out. Ever. And that fueled my disease for a long time, man, because I learned how to puff my chest out, and nobody was ever going to find that shit out. And it fueled my disease for so long, man. And when I was sitting there with my sponsor and I shared that shit, and he just looks at me and he just takes a deep breath and says, me too. This is the biggest Me Too movement there is, man. You know, because we are in true relation in here. I'm getting into words. So we are in a ship together. We all relate together. So get in the ship together, because it's going to be rocky. Rock the boat. You know, relationships. You know, we truly relate in here. You know, and am I getting there? Shit. I got a little bit. Oh, really? Okay. So, man, I just start diving into those steps, diving into the lifestyle, because this is a lifestyle. I go to meetings, I have a sponsor, I work steps, I have a home group, and I'm of service, you know. And my good old grandparents, God rest their souls, you know, I was able to give back. I was able to give back. I gotta jump a lot forward here. So I dove into those steps, I dove into this lifestyle, took care of my grandparents. Hey God. And I was able to give back in a way, because the amends has everything to do with, is they've heard sorry their whole lives, you know, their whole lives. I was able to give back the behavior. I was able to give back financially, emotionally, spiritually. You know, I was able to ask those questions on their deathbed, like, hey, when was your first kiss? How was your first date? You know, how did you guys meet? You know, beautiful, beautiful stuff, man. And I was able to ease them out of this world, you know, with comfort and care. And some things that I never thought my grandpa would say. He said, man, I never thought I'd be able to say this, but I'm proud of you. And that shit rocks my world, man. Rocks my world. And, you know, through working this process and going to any lengths for my recovery, you know, because I still struggle, man, because yes, I got fired from jobs because me too, Nick, me too. Because I would see certain women and I think that, oh man, I gotta be in the limelight, I gotta have that. So I'd put on certain masks and, so, you know, working at this hotel, you know, and I start, hola mami, ¿cómo estás? You know, and then my boss comes to me and says, man, you got to stop fucking my housekeepers, dude. I'm telling you. And so what do? I get with another one. And I said, well, she's a concierge. And he says, get the fuck out of my building right now. You're done. I've lost jobs because of this behavior, you know, going through the same thing that the drugs put me through. Not using any dope, you know. And so I had to share that too, man. Thank you. You know, we talked about it earlier. It's beautiful shit, man. We got to tell on the disease. And yeah, dies in the light of exposure. It does, man. You know, and so I'm going through it. My grandparents pass away, and because I'm like diving into these issues, man. And because I never knew my mom, you know. I was raised by this guy, this dad, a wonderful addict as well. And so I was wondering, like, why females do this. And I just jumped the fuck in, man. You know, looking for that tit. And it's because I wanted a mom. I wanted someone to take care of me. I wanted that relationship with a female source, you know, with a feminine energy. And so I made the leap of faith. I knew my mom was in Indiana. And so I started making contact with her. You guys taught me this. Because that phone got lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. 2-minute long conversations became 2-hour long conversations, became me flying out there once a year, became me taking the leap of faith to move out there, you know? I'm sitting there this one day, I'm packing up my grandparents' house. You know, they people that used to lock their keys and lock boxes, would lock doors, change locks, change doors, so many things. Put bars on the windows, left me a house, you know, beautiful. So I'm packing this house, I'm selling this house, and I'm thinking, man, should I be doing the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? You know, and I'm like, Pop, you know, I used to call my grandpa Papa and Nana, Papa and Nana, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? Oh my gosh. And I'm sitting there crying, and I'm looking at these old pictures, you know, old folks, man, those photo books, man, photo albums. And I'm fucking going through these photo albums, crying my eyes out. And this is how God works, man. This is how God works. I'm sitting there crying, and I keep them in my basic text wherever I go. These two photos fall out, and I'm like, what? And it's my grandma and my aunt. So my grandma's name is Shirley, and her aunt, so my great aunt, her name is Mary. And it says Aunt Mary and Shirley, Indianapolis, Indiana, July 19th, 1951. You can't make this shit up, you guys. This shit fell right out of those photo albums. I'm getting chills talking about it. You know, that's how my higher power works, man. And I made that leap of faith, and I moved to Indianapolis, and it's been beautiful because I have a mom now, you know. You know, I get to have those conversations. I get to let her heal because I've healed. I've forgiven her. And I get to let her heal and tell me the whys and the whats and the wheres and the hows. And let her heal. Let her forgive herself. And I get to find out all kinds of shit, man. It's been beautiful. It's been beautiful. And the fellowship in Indianapolis, Indiana is off the chain, man. It is wonderful. And I have, and they, I almost had to tell you guys, because I got there, you know, in Arizona, they don't do the we version of the Serenity Prayer. You go out a little further out Midwest, you know, they do the we version of the Serenity Prayer. And of course, I got there and I wanted to tell, well, this is how we do it in Arizona, you know, and we don't, where do you see the we version of the Serenity Prayer in our literature? And then, of course, I come here and I'm like, hey, I got to tell these guys about the we version of the Serenity Prayer. Right. And so it's been beautiful, man. And I could share about so much other shit, but and I'm so grateful you guys had me. I'm looking forward to a fun, inviting, loving, hugging weekend. I'm gonna close with this. You know, the I told you about that time through the steps. You know, I don't really hear about the onion anymore, the layers of the onion, you know, peeling back the onion. And there's going to be those tears, baby, because it hurts. And so that, you know, the first time through that onion, man, I was going through this immense process with my grandparents, you know, and I told you I learned how to amend the behavior. But this first time I'm going, I sit them down and I said, I'm so sorry, and I know you've heard that so many times in your life, but I just don't know how to amend all the harm that I've caused. And my grandpa leans over and he goes, keep going to those fucking classes.
Let's give it up for Silma, Nick, and Daryl one more time. Woo!